Good evening, and welcome to another exciting session here at Ever Increasing Word Training Center under the apostolic guidance and leadership of our apostle, Pastor Leroy Thompson Sr. Thank you for Mom Carolyn Thompson, he and the entire royal family. What precious gifts we have, and we honor them and are so thankful for who they are in our lives. And thank God for allowing him to establish this school of ministry. This evening, we will continue with Times of the Revivalist, which is stage 7. And so we will pick up with C, men of kindred spirits. So find that in your books. And let us begin.
Men of kindred souls.
Men of kindred souls.
The times of the revivalists.
The times of the revivalists.
Is a time where men of kindred spirits.
Is a time where men of kindred spirits.
Are drawn together to carry on God's end time vision.
They are drawn together to carry on God's end time vision.
It is the time of reproducing men of integrity.
It is a time to produce men of integrity.
And power.
And men of power.
These men will have a kindred spirit.
These men will have kindred spirits.
And God will raise them up in covenant relationship.
And God will raise them up together in covenant relationships.
With one another.
With one another.
These breeds of men and women.
This breed of men and women.
Will walk in such intimacy.
Will walk together in such intimacy.
And integrity.
And integrity.
With one another.
With one another.
That it will marvel the world.
That it will marvel the world.
Their commitment and loyalty.
Notice this phrase. Their commitment and their loyalty.
For one another.
For and to one another.
Becomes their safeguard in relationship.
Becomes their safeguard in the relationship. You listening? You have to be committed. You have to be committed. We live in a generation where men and women don't want to what? Commit. The institution of marriage is a great sign to show this generation that men and women both want benefits without what? The marriage commitment, because it's more than just a commitment. Marriage is a what? Covenant. And it requires a great deal of what? Loyalty. You don't just be loyal when things are going right. When you are committed and loyal, that means up under all in any circumstances, you sticking with it. You have what I call stick-to-itiveness. Go ahead, son.
These times of the revivalists will produce men in covenant bonds.
Will produce men and women in covenant bonds.
Who will not fear to sacrifice.
Who will not fear to sacrifice.
Anything for each other's vision in God.
Anything for each other's vision in God. So that means all competition is eliminated. Because in covenant where one is strong, and the other is weak, the strong will use its strengths to cover the weaknesses of the other. That is true covenant relationship. Notice it says you will be willing to sacrifice any and everything to make sure your brother or sister succeeds in ministry. Go ahead.
These men will know what it means to stand up together.
These men and women will know what it means to stand up together.
And stand up for one another.
And to stand up for one another.
Samuel's anointing.
Samuel's anointing.
Affected the life of David.
Affected the life of David.
To such an extent.
To such an extent.
That the first thing that he did.
That the first thing that he did.
When he became king of Israel.
When David became king of Israel.
Was to bring back the ark of to Israel.
Was to bring back the ark of the covenant to Israel. Why? because the Ark of the Covenant represented God's presence. See, the most important thing in the lives of God's people, individually, I'm not talking about coming to a building. I'm talking about personally packing God's presence. If you're a student of the scripture, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Chronicles, they're like the synoptic gospels. But what you will find when you read of the adventures and the exploits of those kings in those days, you will find out that the Ark of the Covenant was so precious that it began to prosper. Listen to this. Began to prosper a nation who wasn't even serving God, provoking God's people to jealousy. That should tell you something about God's presence. Where his presence is, you listening? Prosperity follows. And I'm not just talking about material prosperity. I'm talking about peace. So that was the first thing King David did. King David said, look, I don't want to do nothing. I don't want to go nowhere. I don't want to be found without God's presence. Go ahead.
Samuel's greatest desire was the ark to be returned to Israel.
Was that the Ark of the Covenant be returned to Israel where it belonged.
In fact,
his very existence
was to minister before the Ark
of the Covenant.
And for this purpose, he was consecrated.
And for this purpose was Samuel consecrated from his mother's womb.
That desire was transferred to David.
That desire for God's presence, that longing, remind me of the 63rd Psalm, which says, as the deer panted for the waters, so my soul longeth after thee. I don't care how long we're saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You listening? You must maintain that hunger and that thirst for God's presence. For where God's presence is, his power will always be. And where God's presence and power is, his prosperity will always flow. You listening?
Yes,
go ahead, sir.
That desire was transferred to David.
That desire was transferred to King David.
When David dealt with him in Ramah.
When David dealt with Samuel in Ramah.
History records that
King David
probably spent 10 years with Samuel.
Probably spent a minimum of 10 years with Samuel.
In which he learned prophecy. Music and government. Music was part of the priestly and prophetic anointing.
Anointing
in the Old Testament. God spoke to Elijah
to anoint Jehu
as king of Israel.
It was Elijah who commissioned one of the sons of the prophets to anoint Jehu as king.
Everything that was prophesied by the prophet Elijah concerning the house of Ahab was carried out by King Jehu.
I believe because of the kindred spirits.
The apostles and the prophets can work. Closely together.
They should. Because the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 20 declares that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone. In Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12, it said, and he gave some. See, God gave Jesus, the head of the church, gave gifts unto the church. These gifts are the five graces: the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. These graces were given for the perfecting of the church. Why? The maturing of the church is the only way that the work of the ministry could be carried out in churches. Through the perfecting, you listening, of the saints, and the saints carrying out the work of the ministry, then we have the edifying of the body of Christ. What is the purpose for perfection and working and edification? Until we all come unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ. That is the purpose of apostolic government. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 and 28, it says, now you are, or we are, the body of Christ, and we are members in particular. Now remember, Jesus gave the gifts, but God is the one who set the gifts in the order, put it another way, in the rank that he wanted them to function. Are you listening?
Yes,
ranks are not positions of superiority. Ranks are positions of service. Are you listening?
Yes,
now watch what the scriptures say. Now God set the members in the body as it what? Pleased him. Who did he set first? First the apostles. First who? First. First in time. First in order. First in rank. When Jesus trained those 12 men, he was training apostles. But he himself stood in all fivefold ministry offices. The Lord Jesus Christ. You can only give, you can only impart who you are. You listening? So he set in the church first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. APT. That is to make us apt, teachable, trainable, understanding, watch this, what the will of God is. Go ahead, sir.
Jehu is the apostolic structure of government.
Jehu is the apostolic structure of governmental authority.
Whereas Elijah is the representative of the prophetic blueprint.
Is the representative of the prophetic blueprint.
And heavenly pattern.
And the heavenly pattern.
In accordance to the heartbeat of God.
In accordance to the what? Heartbeat of God. God have a set way of doing things. And God is not changing his ways. You listening? To fit any generation. Are you listening to me? Go ahead.
Unless we have men of kindred spirits.
Unless we have men of kindred spirits.
Joining together.
Joining together.
There will not be apostolic succession.
There will not be apostolic succession.
In the church.
In the church. The most important thing is that the move of God is passed from one generation through the next generation through apostolic sons and daughters. Are you listening? Go ahead.
Acts chapter 16, verse 9 through 10.
Acts chapter 16, verses 9 and 10.
Because the Apostle Paul had a vision.
Records that Apostle Paul had a vision.
The apostolic team concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel.
That surrounded Paul concluded that God had called them to preach the gospel.
To the Macedonians. One man saw a prophetic vision. And everybody pressed forward to fulfill the vision.
And everyone that was around him pressed forward in order for the vision to be fulfilled.
As their own.
Now, how about that? You are not really functioning in ministry, if you are not faithful in another man's ministry as though it is your own. In Luke chapter 16, you read it. That's why you have to read your Bible. Verse 1 through 10, you will find out that you cannot be entrusted with the true riches of God if you're not first faithful in another man's house. When you're faithful in another man's house, you're totally committed and totally loyal, and you're not looking for fault finding so you can check out. Strong churches are built by strong covenant relationships. And you must be faithful at all times to the call and the purpose and the plans of God for another man's life and ministry. As a matter of fact, a son cannot receive that mantle in that impartation unless he's been found faithful. Go ahead, sir.
Such kindred spirits. Gives God's will and purpose.
Give God's will and God's purpose.
To be fulfilled speedily.
To be fulfilled in the earth speedily.
This working togetherness
can only be made possible.
Through a kindred spirit of covenant relationship.
As a matter of fact, you study the scriptures, covenants were signed, sealed, and delivered with what? Blood. With what?
Blood.
You listening? In other words, what was it saying? When you join together in covenant with somebody, that meant a life for a life. But today, so many people give up life. Go ahead, sir.
D. Spiritual fathering.
Spiritual what? Fathering.
The times of the revivalists.
Are times to fulfill essential needs.
For the spiritual fathering.
Samuel was indeed a spiritual father.
And a mentor to King David. David grew stronger in the anointing.
David, King David, grew stronger in the anointing. Which was whose anointing? Samuel's. See, we oftentimes get all crazy when we start talking about the anointing. Are you listening? Yes, it is the Holy Spirit that does the anointing. You listening? But the scriptures teach us that God took of Moses' spirit and put upon the 70 elders. You listening? What did Elisha ask Elijah for? He say a double portion. I'm going to help you, religious mind. He said, I want a double portion of your spirit. That means we got to have men and women who walk so before God. People say, I want to serve God like you. I want your commitment, your loyalty. 50 years later, still running. Go ahead, sir.
David grew stronger in the anointing. By being with Samuel.
By doing what?
Being with Samuel.
Being where? When Jesus chose the 12 apostles, according to Luke 8, 1 and 2, the scriptures say he chose them to be with him. You can't get it if you're not with him. You can't be taking time off. Oh, Lord. Covenant requires commitment. Are you listening? And the greatest commitment that we have in this lifetime, I know you won't think it's money, but it's time. Who you spend time with the most is who you love the most. But what do you give God? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, I got to come. Oh, Lord, we in church too long on Sunday. Lord, have mercy. I don't even go to midweek service. I'm too busy. Yeah, don't speak in tongues now. Your job more important than your God. Can I talk up in here for a second? There's no job should occupy your time where it interferes with God's time. See, you now, some of y'all, this is apostolic. Some of y'all make excuses not to function at a high level. Well, I get off at 6. Well, bring your clothes to work. Go take a bird bath. Put on your clothes and get to the kingdom. Oh, you can't do it for God. But when there's a parent-teachers conference, you make it. If there's a party for a coworker at the sports bar, you make it. Some of y'all don't want to be in church because you don't want nobody to know where you are. That's the Holy Ghost. I know I am. I'm not playing. This is covenant. This is serious stuff. There are people in the church who don't want the fullness of what God has. They want to hang out. But the days that lie ahead will show you no hanging out. Go ahead, sir.
Samuel nurtured him like a son.
Samuel nurtured King David like a son.
And kept him consistent in the ways.
And kept King David consistent in the ways
of righteousness.
Of righteousness.
Today's generation
is a fatherless generation. What does that mean? That means that it's a generation that's without instruction. You listening? It's a generation without correction. It's a generation without protection. Are you listening? This can be properly called a bastard generation. Bastard is not a curse word. You listening? A bastard is a child who have a father but refuses instruction and correction and reproof. Are you listening? Even as a child, you knew you deserved a good whipping. I'm going to look over here. I'm going to talk to some people who've been through something. I say, even as a child, you knew you needed a good whipping. You didn't need nobody to tell you you was bad. You knew it. Can somebody say amen up in here? So spiritual fathers is for correction. Are you listening? And if you can't handle correction, if you run every time somebody got to deal with you, that's why we don't have real spiritual fathering, because most men and women of God think they're an island unto themselves and they don't have to answer to nobody but God. But that's not true. In covenant relationship, you're accountable to the one that you're submitted to. And if you can't take the heat, get the hell out the kitchen. That's Dr. Walker. Go ahead.
Unless the prophetic
and the apostolic fulfills its purpose
of joining the hearts of the fathers
to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers,
there will not be
spiritual apostolic succession in the church.
And continuance of God's eternal purpose.
And the continuance of what? God's eternal purpose. Remember, the waves of revival are based up on the spiritual principle of what? Continuance. You listening? God is not a hit and miss God. As a matter of fact, let me just make this real plain. The apostolic and the prophetic is interested in doing things according to God's original plan. That's why so many churches are full of programs and People get frustrated when you have a church that don't have programs and picnics and men in black day and women in white day. Talk to me. Child day, birthday, holiday. This is the kingdom of God. This is not a social club. We here to train sons and daughters, not codependency. Go ahead.
A.
A.
Spiritual succession and continuance.
Spiritual succession and continuance.
We need to understand that we are.
We need to understand that we are.
Not running a new race.
We're not running a new race.
But are continuing one started.
But we are continuing a race that was started.
By our forefathers.
By our what? Forefathers. You can never curse your forefathers. You better hear what I'm saying. It's the forefathers who laid the foundation. It's the forefathers who laid down their lives so we could go further. Go ahead.
This generation of Christians.
This generation of Christians.
Are building up on the truths.
Are building up on the truths.
And dimensions restored.
And the dimensions that are restored.
In the past generations.
In the past generations.
We are to bring those restorational truths into maturity. We are to take that which has been restored.
We are to take that which have been restored
in earlier generations to bring them to a greater level of excellence.
To bring them to a greater level of what? Excellence. And what is that saying? Each generation, you listening, should take it further, because God is constantly unfolding and revealing himself. You listening? We're not to lose the momentum and the gains that was made by the previous generation. You listening?
Yes.
Neither are we to get stuck.
My God.
How do you get stuck? You get stuck denominationally. Are you listening? There are churches more rooted on the name of the denomination than following God. Are you listening? We're not here to teach denominationalism. We're here to teach a personal, divine relationship with the Father as sons and daughters, instituting a heaven to earth government. We're not training you to go to heaven. In the apostolic, we're training you as apostolic believers to bring heaven to earth. That's what Jesus said, pray ye in this manner. You listening? That the will of the Father would be done here in the earth realm. Go ahead, sir.
To receive from the previous moves. In order to be in the new move. We must be baptized in the message of the old.
We must be baptized or immersed into the old move.
The new move is the continuation. Of the old order. We need to capitalize.
So what does that mean? That means God say, I never deviate from my original plan. In Matthew's gospel, chapter 19, they came at Jesus and was trying to tempt him on the issue of divorce. And, you know, and so they say, well, Jesus, Moses permitted us to give our wives and husbands a bill of divorcement. And they thought they had it going on. But Jesus said, no, that's not the way it was from the beginning. Thank you for your enthusiasm.
Yes,
God said, that's not the way it was from the beginning. You listening?
Yes,
the marriage covenant and the marriage relationship is always defined until death do you part. There are means for a divorce. You've heard it, infidelity in marriages.
Yes, sir.
You listening? Oh, yeah, you can take that to the 10th degree. But there's another law that you don't want to consider. It's called a law of forgiveness. You don't hear that in Apostle. You don't hear that, right? Everybody want to get offended, quit and leave. You listening? That's not all the time the answer. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Are you listening? That's why some folk been married 5 times. Well, who's the problem? You are the one you left. Go ahead.
We need to capitalize.
We need to capitalize
on what the old move
have gained.
And speed off into the spiritual horizon.
Number three.
Need to run our own distance.
We need to run our own distance. That is allotted unto us in this spiritual race. Notice it say, run your own distance. You listening? Watch this. In the Olympics, you have relays. You listening? In the relays, you have to stay in your lane. In a relay, the baton is passed from you to the next person. You listening? Because in a relay, you start off with a running start. You better hear what I'm saying. Each leg ought to be getting faster. But if you don't practice and don't have a purpose, you can drop the baton and cost yourself a gold medal. Or you can get the baton, but you're outside the lane. Therefore, you become disqualified. In the apostolic, you're carrying the mantle and the message of your apostolic father. You are not designed to turn and bring it another way. You are to keep it in its original state as God designed it to be. That's a real son. That's a real daughter. Go ahead, sir.
It is important for us to be blessed. By what others have gained in their generation.
And in their time.
We need to also know what God wants. Us to do. In our generation.
And in our time. You ready for this? Quit looking at people or quit. God depending on you. Go ahead.
How do we serve our own generation well? Being faithful to what God has entrusted us.
We must be faithful to what God has entrusted
to a past generation.
Will only make us relevant for that past generation.
The future generation will not be able to identify with history. David served his generation well.
King David served his generation well as king, prophet, and priest.
Because he knew what he needed to do.
He knew what he needed to do. That's important. You have to know what God needs you to do and stop looking at somebody else to not do it. Go ahead.
Acts chapter 13, verse 36
declares.
For David, after he had served the purpose of God,
in his own generation,
he fell asleep, and was laid among his fathers, and underwent decay.
Number four.
Are responsible to maintain the past victories and present destiny.
Sons and daughters are responsible for maintaining past victories
and present destinies. We are a generation
where the past and the future
are held together.
They are what? Held together in what? In the now. That's what faith does. Faith goes to the past and bring it into the now. Faith goes into the now, into the future, and bring it into the now. We're able to be beneficiaries of things as we learn to what? Connect by faith to the grace that's available to us. Go ahead.
We need to be faithful to all.
We need to be faithful to all.
That we have in Christ.
That we have in Christ.
We need to cherish.
We need to cherish.
And nurture all that our forefathers.
And nourish all that our forefathers.
Achieved and gained.
Achieved and gained.
We need to press earnestly forward.
Notice that phrase. We need to press earnestly forward.
Towards the finish line.
Towards the what? Finish line.
The fulfillment of the past generations.
The fulfillment of the past generations.
Is in our achievement.
Is in our achievement.
The forefather. Have invested in us their hope and dreams.
Have invested into us their hopes and their dreams.
The forefather. Gained many things and exploits.
Gained many things. And did many exploits.
Not for themselves.
Those gains and exploits were not for themselves.
But to lay a solid foundation.
But it was to lay a solid foundation.
For us to run and win this race and stop.
For us to run and to win this race. Watch this. In style and with excellence. God is the God of excellence. In this apostolic school of ministry, if you hate on prosperity, you're not going to make it. Because you can't even produce excellence without prosperity. God never spared. God was never concerned about how much nothing cost. The temple was full of gold, full of silver, full of the best of everything. Are you listening? Go ahead.
The forefathers. Unfulfilled dreams found. Relative in you.
Read it again, sir.
The forefathers.
Unfulfilled dreams.
Finds reality in us.
The forefathers.
Desires are not only achieved. But
they are brought to perfection.
The forefathers.
Efforts.
Are rewarded in our attainment in Christ.
Well, we'll see you on the next session. Enjoy your evening.